According to one chronology, the earth was watered the way that we're going to see here for 1,656 years. 1,656 years before the flood. Okay? That's according to one chronology. We have a lot of chronologies. I mean, a lot of people just think in a little tiny box, and they say, well, this is the way it is. Well, this chronology, according to this chronology, it was 1,656 years that the earth was watered like this. Let's go and look at it. Siyak, Hasedeh, Terim, Yeyeh, Ba'aretz, we call Hesed, Hasedah, Tarim, Yitzma, Ki, Lo, Kimtir, Ha. And then we have the word Ha the bar there, which is Jehovah. We don't know how to say it. Jehovah Elohim. That one's Ha the bar, the word. Adonai is what the Jews say today when they come to that word Adonai. Adonai does mean what? Lord or King. Adonai ha'Adonaiim in the plural is Lord of Lords and King of Kings. And where in the New Testament does John the Apostle tell us that is Jesus? The Lord of Lords and King of Kings is Jesus. Where is that? What book? It's John's writing.
Revelation,
the 19th chapter. Where he says, and on his thigh and on his vesture was King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And that is the title of Jehovah. Jehovah, Adonai, the name. And that is our Savior, Jesus. We call, and every, here we have the word Siyak. Siyak. This is a bush or plant or shrub. Plant. And then we have the word Hasedeh. Hasadeh, what does that mean, Sharon?
Like a meadow.
A meadow. Have you got any meadows up there in Tatchami? Vincent?
Meadow?
Every meadows that water themselves.
Oh, meadows. Okay.
Meadows. A meadow is a place that is naturally watered by surface water of some sort, just under the ground, just a little bit. Meadow. How about when you pass up Tatchami and 202 and you go out there, and the highway is split out there, and right between there by Monolith, there used to be some wetlands out there, and
yeah,
a lot of water. That's a Hasadeh. That's it. The cattle graze out there, don't they? That's what this is. This is the word right here. Hasadeh. And then Tarim, and that means not yet. And then we have the word Yiyah. Say the word Yiyah. 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 That is the word that Jehovah comes from. Right there it is. And that's to become. He had kept on becoming. Third person, masculine, singular, cal, imperfect. All right. Not yet. The had kept on becoming in the earth. All and all vegetation. This means juicy vegetables. All right. Esev, that's juicy vegetables of the plain, of that land like up there, that moist plain. The water just comes and seeps up through the ground. And then Tarim, and this is like an adverb of time, and not yet. Yitzmach. Yitzmach, third person, masculine, singular, cal, imperfect. And yot, not. He had kept on sprouting forth. This means to sprout. The ground had not sprouted yet. Because, that's the word key there. Because, lo is an adverb of negation, Brother Ray. That's an adverb of negation. Lo. Page 518 in Brown Driver Brick. And then we have the word himtor. Himtor is third person masculine singular, hifal, perfect. He had cause to reign. Not he had caused the rain. There's no rain. For 1,656 years, there's no rain. There is moist lands, and there is what we call greenhouse effect on this earth. And not only that, people lived a long time during this 1,656 years. How long did Noah live, Brother Ray? 900. 900 and something years Noah lived. 900 and something years. His wife was older than him by 150 years. Now, women 150 years old, so don't run around popping babies nowadays, do they?
No, I don't think so. Women 100 years old, don't
they? So back then, things were a lot different. The whole atmosphere of the earth was different. And then it said, had caused Jehovah, Elohim. And this word Jehovah, I just don't know how to say it, but it would be something like Yah. Yah. Say Yahweh. But when you say Yahweh, you're using vowels. This has no vowels. You have Yod, you have He, you have Wow, and you have He. Four consonants, no vowels, no way to say, pronounce it at all. All right, and you can look that word up. For 224 in Brown Dragon Biggs and 243 in Kohler and Bumgardner. 2 and verse 5. Al. Ha'aretz. We Adam. Ayin. La'avad. Et. Ha'adama. And not rained ale upon, that's like Epi, page 153 and 54 in Greek. Ha'aretz. What would be the equivalent of earth in New Testament language, Brother Ray? You remember what that would be in Greek?
No,
how about it, Sharon? What's the word for earth in Greek? Yeah, gay. Both of them are feminine gender. Eretz and gay are both. Hey, gay, the earth. And here we have ha'aretz. Now, hey, gay, the definite article in Greek is feminine. Here, the definite article is whatever. You know, it's just a definite article, period. Ha'aretz and the earth. And then we have Adam. Adam. What does Adam mean? Adam. What does the word Adam mean? What? It means red, and it means blood. Dom is the root of Adam. Dom. And then we're going to see the word for earth. And then we have Ayin, and Ayin is an adverb of negation, or a particle of negation, either way, page 34. And then we have La'avod. La'avod, to work or to till. And Adam not did he work or till. It means to slave. Avod means to be a slave. If you really want to become a slave, buy a farm.
He bought the farm.
Have you ever heard of that? He bought the farm. Boy, when he did, he's in trouble.
The farm bought him.
And this is here we have it right here. That word avod there, that means the slave. Not yet become a slave. Et ha'adama. Look at the word ha'adama. That word there for earth, adama. Say adama.
Adama.
Now that word is the same root as man. Where did God create man from?
The same elements.
The same elements as he created the earth. And where did earth come from?
God.
The same elements that he created man from. Same thing.
But did he breathe that all the elements?
He spoke it into existence. It came from him. It came from him. The earth of the ground. This ground here, this word earth, Brother Ray, that is a relative term. It means that God and man, or man and earth, are related to each other. Eretz is earth too, but right here is the redeemable earth. Before, in eternity past, God had decided that he's going to create the heavens and the earth. He's going to create angels and all that primarily before that, we know. and that he created the heavens and the earth and the angels, according to Job 38, that sang praises to God as these things appeared. And evidently, when God created man, the angels sang praises. Also, as God created man, because through mankind, now man hadn't sinned yet, but God knew he would, but through mankind, because his relationship to the earth, and because God was going to become related to mankind through Mary, without sin, that he's going to redeem all of this, because God is going to be related to us. And that's why we have the whole book of Ruth, our kinsman redeemer. And what is the word for kinsman redeemer in Hebrew?
Goel.
Goel. Say Goel. That's our kinsman redeemer. Goel. 2 and verse 6. We had Ya'ele min ha'aretz. We hishka et kal panei. And now here we have the word ha'adama. And mist. A vapor. A vapor. He kept on causing to go up. He kept on going up out of the earth. Remember when, Vincent? Remember when you told me over there, just the other side over there by Monolith, there is this place up there, and have you ever gone by there where there's fog? Even though there's a lot of wind up there.
It's like a little mist.
A mist.
Yeah, it hovers over it.
It covers over that because of humidity. You know what the humidity in Tehachapi is many, many days of the year? Because of that place?
Oh, no, wait.
Because of that very place right there. You know what the humidity of Tehachapi is? 100% many days. And it's because of that. Of that. And he kept on causing out of the earth. Does that mist come up out of the earth out there? Yeah. And he had caused to be irrigated all the faces of the earth. This is how it happened for 1,656 years, according to some chronologies. Let's put it that way. 1,656 years, this happened. How long did Adam live? Remember how long Adam lived? 950 years? All of his life he saw. He didn't know anything else. How about Noah? Noah's the tenth from Adam. Did Noah know Adam? Huh? Yeah. These people, their lives, there's long lifetimes here now. Long lifetimes. I did a sermon one time on the first 10 names of Adam, and I told how long they were alive before the next guy died, and before the next guy died, and before the next guy died. That's 10 inspired names. I talked about that. So they knew each other. They saw this, and then at the flood, there was a dramatic change of everything in the earth. The whole economy of the earth changed. Let's go back now. We etzer. Then we have the word Hadabar, which we do not know how to say that word Jehovah at all. And then Elohim. Here we have the Jehovah title. Why do we have the Jehovah title here? Man's here. What is the Jehovah Elohim? What does that title mean, Brother Ray? Jehovah Elohim. What does that title, why does it appear?
Well, I know Elohim means the supreme mighty one.
Uh-huh. But why does the title Jehovah Elohim appear? He's our covenant-keeping God. Jehovah Elohim is a covenant-keeping God. Jehovah, he who shall become. Elohim is a creator. But when you have the title Jehovah Elohim, then you have our covenant-keeping God. There is a covenant going to happen. A covenant is in the budding. When you see the word Jehovah Elohim, now we are got our covenant-keeping God. Everybody's got an Elohim. But only the saved have a Jehovah Elohim, and only Israel has a Jehovah Elohim. And that's not because Israel's worthy of it, or that we're worthy of it. It's because we have a covenant-keeping God. That's the covenant-keeping God. And he kept on forming Jehovah Elohim, the man, as dust to become dust, as dust and to become dust. All right? Afar. Afar. As dust and become dust. Now, in the Hebrew mind and grammar denotes this. He formed him as dust to become dust. As dust, as he formed the dust, so shall man. But when man would sin, what would his body do? He would decay and go back to the earth, or to the earth, that is. Well, everything we eat from the earth sustains us. Everything that we are comes from the earth. How many of you eat a lot of meat?
I don't eat a lot, not like I used to.
Okay, but I mean, do you eat a lot of meat? Well, do you say that's not from the earth? Well, is it or is it not? How did the cow get here? How did the chicken get here? They walked around on the earth, and everything that they existed and what sustained them was the earth, wasn't it?
Right.
I mean, a chicken is omnivorous, kind of like a bear or something. I remember I used to go coon hunting and bear hunting and lion hunting and all that. I had a real good friend, Fred Bess, up in Linville, California. We'd go up there, we'd go out and get these raccoons, and when we go get home, I'd skin them. And he'd take the carcass, and he had a 20-gallon barrel out there, and he'd have water in that barrel, and he'd build a fire under it, and then we'd throw that raccoon in there. And after that raccoon had cooked for many, many hours, he turned that barrel over, and here came those chickens. There would be nothing but bones left. They'd eat all of that raccoon, everything. They'd eat it all up. Now, chickens eat bugs. They eat worms. They eat all kinds of stuff, but they eat a lot of vegetation, don't they? You turn them out here in a alfalfa patch, what do, Marilyn? Their feet and their faces are green. Green. Yeah. Turn them out in the grass. Boy, they'll go to town on the grass. Everything lives of the earth. You are sustained by the earth. And he had formed and kept on forming Jehovah, Elohim, Et, Adam, the man, as dust to become earth, as in the same way or from the same way the ground. And this means to proceed to ground. Man would proceed to ground, wouldn't he? Would he not? And then he breathed. And let's go over here to 2:7b. Be a paw. Nishmas. Chaim. This is really important verse right here. Part of the verse. Wahi. Ha'adam. Linefesh. Chaya.
Where are you at?
2:7b. 2:7b, that's on the next page. We were 2:7a, now we're 2:7b. All right. And God formed man like as on account of the earth to become earth. And he blew and breathed in nostrils. In his nose, in his face, breathings, plural. Breathings, chayim, of lives. Sharon, you were there. Marilyn, you were there. Vincent, you were there. When God breathed this lives into Adam, you were there. People say, I'm not responsible for Adam's sin. You were there. You're right. If you don't, there is no life outside of Adam.
How can I be there when I haven't been born yet?
Your life that would become was there.
This is the soul.
Not only that, but it, before this ever happened in eternity past, God wrote your name down in the Lamb's Book of Life.
Mm-hmm. Well, that I understand because he sees you make that choice.
Uh-huh. Okay. But every life that's ever been born in the human race was breathed into Adam right here. Look what it says. In nostrils, breathings of lives to make alive. To make lives. This was Adam's procreative power that he would have. And all human life came from Adam. We're all Adam's sons. Are we not? I remember a long time ago. Reminds me of something. My little girl, I took care of her all the time. Mother wouldn't do anything for her. So I took care of her all the time, and I'd get her dressed every morning like that. And I'd try to put pants on her because it was cold up there in Nevada. And Dakota would look at me and she said, Dada, I'm a girl. I want a dress. I'm a girl. Reminds me, I'm a girl. I want a dress. Breathings of lives. And that word of lives there, chaya, chayim, is plural. And that is every one of our lives were in him. There's where the origin of the human race is, Brother Ray. Right here. This is it.
He couldn't accomplish this without Eve, though.
She was there. In
not
him.
At this point,
she's in him.
Yes.
She's in him.
Yeah, that part.
Her life that would make her alive was in him. Okay? And, why he, and he had become, third person master and senior cow, while consecutive and perfect, he had become and kept on becoming the Adam. Le Nefesh. What's Nefesh? Soul. He'd become a living soul. Now he had become an individual life. And in Adam was every human's soul to become.
So this is the pre-existence of the soul. This is when souls were created. Human souls were created.
Became a living soul. When do you become a living soul?
Well, she was born.
Well, when I become a human, when the soul and the egg and everything unite.
The sperm and the egg unite, and that sparks life. That is life.
But my soul was there. I was still. Pre-existed in this
your
form.
Spirit was there before. It's not so much as the pre-existence of the soul, because you become a living soul at conception. But your life was there in Adam. That spark of life was there. You can take one seed of barley or wheat and you can bury it for 5 or 10,000 years and you can take it out, put water on it and sunlight, and guess what happens? Chaya is there. Life is there. Because it is inherently in that seed. And we have seen that also. And now look at what it says here about that. Here we have all kinds of little neat little things. Wayita. Hadavar. Elohim. Gone. Be Eden. See there word Eden? Be Eden, that's a Hebrew word. Eden is a Hebrew word. And then Mikedam. Why Yasem. Sham. Et. Hadam. Ashir. Yatzar. And he planted and kept on planting Jehovah Elohim a garden. A paradise. That's the word gone right there. Gone. Gone. That word there means a pleasure park, like paradise, a guarded pleasure garden. That's what that word is there. The Babylonian gardens. Remember that? The Hanging Gardens of Babylon. That was a pleasure park. A pleasure park. And so we have this garden. We have this guarded pleasure park that God planted. And then it said, be Eden. Be there. Beth is a preposition. In Eden. And the word Eden means what?
Divine
delicacies. Palatial delicacies. It means deities that are... This place is a throne room where kings abide. Kings order their food cut up for them in little bitty pieces. We call that hors d'oeuvres today. You know, you have hors d'oeuvres. This is like hors d'oeuvres. That's what the word means. It's like delight.
Well,
it's
how does that correlate when he says east of Eden, like a direction from a location, Eden being a location, and if Eden means delicacies, then it's not so much of a location.
Okay, the word delicacy means Eden, but the word mekedem means from the sunlight. It means from the sunlight, the sun comes up in the east. From the direction of the sun. That's what it means. Eden and from the direction of the sun.
Well, that would be the earth then.
Yeah.
Because
it was in the eastern part of the earth. Where was it?
Oh, the eastern part.
Where is this? Where was this garden?
Well, we know that kind of where the Euphrates and Tigris.
Now we got that. We're going to get into that.
Right.
There were four rivers. Mm-hmm. The Tigris and the Euphrates were two of them. So it's someplace over yonder. That's the birthplace of humanity, and it will be the burial place of humanity.
So east of the sun?
It means in the eastern part of the earth.
Eastern part of the
earth. East. It means toward the east. It means toward the eastern part of the earth. Is what actually it means. It means toward the coming up of the sun. Literally. Toward the coming. The word east means the coming up of the sun. The rising
so
of the sun.
First part, the first two letters there, that means east. And then
Mekedem. Men is from, and then Kedem there, that means the sun. That means the sun. That means where the sun rises.
Mekedem.
Mm-hmm. Page 899. It means front. The front of the earth is the east of the earth. The front of the earth is the east of the earth.
Okay.
It's there. That's the front of the earth is the east of the earth. Because that's where the sun comes up. It's not quite Muhammad like Muhammad says. The sun rises and then the sun sets in a muddy pond. It goes down and hides in a muddy pond. That's what he literally said, by the way. He said the earth went and hid in a muddy pond. It landed in a muddy pond. And then it would come up again over there in the east, and then it would go set in a muddy pond. It rises in the front of the earth. That's the east. Where's the sun come up first?
In the east.
In the east. It's always in the east, isn't it?
Is it? It's
always
on the other side of the earth.
Mm-hmm. East. Comes up east. If you're up here in the north pole, it comes up in the east. It goes around like this. If you're over here, it comes up in the east. Everything's east. Yeah. Of course, now, if you get up there close to the north pole, everything's north. Did you know that? Everything's north. You get certain close to everything north. Let's go on. All right. And he planted and kept on planting Jehovah Elohim a paradise. A garden in Eden, in delight. All right? Delight, Arkansas. That's where Glenn Campbell came from, and that's where my stepfather Dusty was from. Delight, Arkansas. And this is the word delight. It means Eden. Delights. There used to be, wasn't there a dairy product called Delight one time, Maryland? Something, I can't remember. There was something like that. Delight.
East of the light.
Delight. From east, from the front. And he had placed there, Eth, sign of the direct object, Ha-Adam, that is, the Adam. Whom, and that's a particle relation, he had molded. Third person, masculine, singular, cow, perfect. He had molded. Yatzar. He had molded. This is a luxurious place where he placed Adam. This was a luxurious place. Now, this Adam, this Eden, this luxurious place is going to become a place of a, it's going to be farm. He is going to be the head, what we call overseer, the straw boss of this beautiful, beautiful paradise. And now he's going to become the head slave of the plantation, the head slave of the plantation. Why Yitzmak? Hadabar, there's that word Jehovah again. We just say Hadabar or Hologo. Elohim, Min, Hadama, Kal Etz, Nikmod, Li Mare, Vitov, Li Ma call. We at Hachayim. And he calls to sprout. Look at here. Now the earth already had seeds in it, didn't it? The earth already had vegetation in it. How long had that been there? How long had that been there, Brother Ray? How long has this vegetation been in the earth? Since Genesis 1 and 1?
Back in eternity.
From Genesis 1 and 1, back in eternity sometime. Then it was all messed up, and now God's going to bring it back to life. Like you can go over there in one of those Pharaoh's tombs, or go down in South America in those tombs down there. Where are the oldest mummies in the world? South America. Those two cultures. It says in the days of Peleg that God divided the earth, didn't he? Did he not? The days of Peleg, that Peleg means divided. That's where you get the word Pharisee, too, from that same Hebrew word. But those old cultures from where the earth was divided, if you take a globe and you push it together and you find out South America and Africa over there are kind of close together, and they had Egyptian pyramids in Egypt, and they had pyramids in South America and Mesoamerica. They had mummies over there in Egypt, and they got mummies in South America. Same culture. They had slavery over there and they had slavery over here. Mass slavery. Okay? Same type of people. You see that. Now, Jehovah planted this garden, this guarded pleasure palace, and called delicacies or delight, pleasure, delicacies, delicate. Delicate pieces, a delicate place. Eden was a delicate place. A delicate place that had to be guarded. There are two Edens in the Bible. One Eden, the first Eden, who was there?
Lucifer.
It was a throne room. And now we have another throne room. Now, how did God provide for Lucifer in his throne room? It was beauty. Beautiful. Eden was beautiful. And how about Eden now? Is it beautiful again? Lucifer's throne room was beautiful, and now Adam's throne room is beautiful. And he calls to sprout Jehovah, Elohim, from the ground, from the earth, out from the ground. Every etz. Etz is a tree. You go up there in Fish Lake Valley, about not over 8 or 10 miles from my place, and you can go into a petrified forest. Now, I haven't taken Marilyn here yet. In that newspaper article they did about me years ago, you'll see me standing by these trees, these petrified trees. And these trees and the trunks and all the roots and everything, you could see them out. I don't know whether that goes back before Adam or this side of the destruction of the earth and the creation of the what we call the tectonic plates that are drifted apart. God calls to drift apart. He calls to sprout Jehovah Elohim from the ground every tree, kol etz, every tree. That means redwood trees. That means olive trees, sycamore trees, what? Fig trees, pomegranate trees. Pomegranate trees go way back yonder. Pomegranate trees are very old trees. They go way back yonder. And he decorates the earth with this beauty. He decorates the earth. Sharon, you brought a little thing here today to show that you had needle pointing as you had done. And that's very beautiful. But it represented what? Pansies that God had created. Now that's your little creation. And God created the pansies. And a little thing that you gave me to put on the creek up there, it says, Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed as one of these lilies of the valley. Beautiful. So God is decorating his earth. Decorations. You can go up in the mountains and you can see watercress in the water. You can see all kinds of little wild onions up there and wild mint. And you'll see all kinds of what they call horsetail and meadow grass and all kinds of varieties of trees that God planted up there. This is stuff God planted. This is wild stuff. And that's what it's talking about here. Every tree. And then it says, masculine, singular, participle. Being desirable, being beautiful. Being beautiful. Now, guys and girls, guys look at girls and they think they're beautiful, don't they? And girls look at guys and they think they're very handsome. And girls like pretty things, don't they? Little decorative pretty things. Do you know that God likes beautiful things? Beautiful things. And so he decorated and he made these things, and these things were pretty to look at. They are desirable to see for an appearance, for a vision. This is like God's picture show. Marilyn, we watched a movie together the other day. And it was a very beautiful movie, Australia. And I mean, talk about some beautiful background in there. If I didn't fall in love with Fish Lake Valley so much, I'd want to be over there in Australia. But up in Fish Lake Valley, you got all that stuff, don't you? You got those mountaintops and those bluffs and those canyons and all of this all rolled up in one. For an appearance, for a vision, and good. We told. And good. And good. What else? Brother Ray, did you ever eat a rose?
A rose?
Yeah. Have you ever eaten a rose?
Not that I can think of.
I've eaten a petal.
You've eaten a rose petal?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. They're edible, aren't they?
Yeah.
Yeah, they're edible. Now, Marilyn, on the creek up there where we live, are there wild roses up there? What do these wild animals run around eating? Rose petals and rose hips. They're full of vitamins.
No, the rose hips, yeah.
Yeah, they're full of vitamin C, full of vitamins. I don't know if you can find any food that's got more vitamin C in it than a rose hip.
Helen had a tube of cream with the flowers put into a cream.
Mm-hmm. And it says, and good for eats. Four eats. Four eats. Le mako. Le mako. Le mako. For eating. And tree of the lives. Tree of the lives. It says taste zoes. Taste zoes. Now, by the way, I started to say this a while ago. This word Eden there in Greek is he trafe. Paradises, paradisos, paradisos. The garden of paradise. Paradisos. This paradise. It was a paradise. And for food, and for trees, and tree of the lives. Ha Chaim. The tree of lives. This tree of lives is like a lampstand in a room. Now, in here, because it's nighttime, I have to put a lot of lights on. But this tree of life just lit up this whole place. It was like the main lampstand in the Garden of Eden is the tree of life. And then they have access to it. That wasn't permitted, was it? It wasn't prohibited. Now, could the wild animals eat this thing? Well, what'd they eat? Then man, could he eat of this tree? This shining bush, this burning bush in the Garden of Eden, so to speak. This shining bush, radiating lives in this Garden of Eden. If anything ate of that, they would keep on living with it.
Well, I would imagine the animals did eat. Probably for many, should be the instruction.
Animals were not for food, were they?
No, not at that time.
No. Mm-hmm. All right. According to Jewish tradition, this tree of life was a lampstand in the Garden of Eden, radiating life and lives from it. Radiating like a lampstand. Like a candelabra. Okay, and 2 and 9, that was 2:9a. Let's go to 2:9b. Bitoek, Hagan, Wietz, Ha Adath, Tov, Wara. And look at this. Bitoek, that means in middle. In middle. In middle of Hagan, the pleasure palace, Paradiso. In the middle of paradise, and tree, we ask tree, ha-diath, of knowing. It says, nostone, in the Greek Septuagint, nostone, the tree of knowledge. The tree of knowledge. Right in the middle of it, it says, in meso, in Greek, Paradisu, Yuzulon, Nostone. Kalu, Poneru. That's a Greek and in Hebrew. All right. Bitok Hagan Wietz Ha Da'ath Tov Wara. In the middle of the garden, in the middle of the pleasant place, the tree, the knowing. The tree of knowledge. Nostone. Good. Tov is good. That's pleasant. And then wara. Wa is a conjunction and ra is evil. That word in Greek, it is kalu. And actually, they should have translated in the Septuagint as agathos. Why, Sharon? Why not call? Got spiritual good. Okay? Should have been translated. See there? My students know how they made a mistake in the Septuagint. Because they know enough Greek that know where the mistakes were made. All right. Tov. Good. And then wa'ara. Evil. Ra. And evil. Poneru. What's poneru mean, Brother Ray? You remember?
Poneru.
Mm-hmm. Poneru. Pornography comes from that word. Okay. This means that the word prostitution comes from this word. Homosexuality comes from this word. Perversion comes from this word. It means the twist. The twist natural affections. The twist natural affections. And the Bible has always talked about this ra, this evil, this poneru. Mankind, women are given beauty, and some women will use that beauty to make money for their sexual favors, and that's what we call prostitution. And we have movie stars, and we have movie starlets, and sometimes they're some of the most promiscuous people in the world, aren't they? Because God has blessed them with beauty. I remember one time I knew this guy. And he married this little homely girl. She was homely. She was not pretty at all. She was not a home. She was not a pretty girl. And he took her down to Los Angeles. He was a very rich man. And he married this young lady, and he wanted to have a baby by her and everything. There was a real problem. I mean, he was in love with this woman, and he wanted her to be pretty. But he loved her. And because she was homely, she had this real... she was embarrassed how homely she was. So he had her face all fixed up and nose fixed up. Her teeth were all fixed up because they looked like somebody that just threw them in her mouth. Got her teeth all straight and had her body look good. She just looked really nice looking woman. And then she ran off and left him.
Yeah.
And had a little girl by her. And then she used that little girl as bait for him to get anything that she wanted. Now, while she was homely, and as she was, nobody wanted her. But when he made her pretty, then she was desirable of other people. Desirable of other people. Sometimes people use that which is natural to that natural beauty for evil. For evil. And good, spiritually good, agathos and poneru. Man knows right from wrong today. Yes.
When God put the tree of life or knowledge in the midst of Eden.
Yeah, in the middle of the garden.
I think his reason was that he wanted to test Adam and Eve.
Well.
You think that was the reason?
That was God's tree. His tree. Nobody else's tree. He said, all of this garden, you can eat anything in here, but that's mine. Don't touch my stuff.
Amen.
Don't touch what's mine. That's mine. That's mine.
Well, if he hadn't put that tree of life in there, there wouldn't be problems today.
And not the tree of life. It's the tree of knowledge. The tree of knowledge of good and evil. He put that tree of knowledge in there and said, it is my tree. Is God omniscient? Yes. Now, did God withhold anything from Adam and from Eve at all, knowledge-wise? Adam and Eve, God taught them everything that they needed to know. But that was tree of knowledge of good and evil was God's property.
Was his what?
His property.
Oh, okay.
His property. I knew a man one time that his kids, he left a $100 bill sitting on the table at all times. He left it out there at all times. And his family were not real rich, but he left a $100 bill out on the table. And everybody, they had that $100 bill there, and everybody ate at that table every day, and they did not touch that $100 bill. It kept them honest because they didn't touch the $100 bill. Many times when they were very hungry, they still didn't touch that $100 bill. That $100 bill represented this tree. And he says, that's not mine, it's not yours, that's God's money. And we'll respect that as God's money. Maybe.
Go ahead.
Maybe that taught his children the idea of what happened in the garden. Did they obey? Yes. Did they learn to respect him? Now, every child in this world, when they're born into this world, they look at their parents as something supernatural and bigger than them, don't they? Do they?
Yeah.
They're bigger than you are. Not only that, but they provide and they get food for you. Yummy, yummy. And they feed you and they provide some place for you to lay down and go to sleep at night. If you have this. There have been times when we don't have this, huh?
Right.
As we grew up. I grew up in a probably a 12 by 15 shack with a dirt floor with no door on it and one screen window. with no glass in it, just screen, that's all. And I thought everybody lived like that until I started seeing how other people lived, and I got to thinking, you know what? I remember when I went to school and these five Saldana brothers, they tried to beat me up that first day because I had a brand new bicycle and brand new shoes and brand new clothes, and they thought I was a rich kid. And they were really mad because they worked hard. Their father was a farm contractor for farm workers. And they followed me home. They was going to beat me up. And I whipped all of them. I mean, I was a strong little kid. I grew up working hard. And I was stronger than anybody else my age. And they followed me home. And when they looked at my house, they were going to beat me up. And when they saw where I lived, they said, Jimmy, do you want to come home and eat with us? We'll feed you. I didn't have a door on my house. Because this is a flap. This is a tarp. They'd come over. So I learned how to make tortillas that day from their aunt. They come up there and they lived in houses. They lived in a big house. It had windows and doors on it. And a front and a back door. And screens on the windows. And all of this, I mean, this was really cool. You know, I was in the first grade. We learn from our parents. Our parents protect us. When you get hurt, you run to mom and daddy. Dakota, you get hurt. Dada! When they get sick, what are you going to do to me, Dad? What kind of concoction are you going to give me now? You know, and I'd give them this stuff and they'd get well, you know. But boy, sometimes it was a bitter dose. But I always protected them and fed them and taught them things. One of the greatest things you can teach your children is God. You are God to them in the very beginning. If you are a no good, reckless person in every way, can they see God in you? Can they see God in you? I remember Joe Montecone, when he came to the Lord, he came to the church to fight me one night. He was going to tell me off because his wife had joined the church. That's your cousin, you know. Yeah. And she had come over there and joined the church and was baptized and all this. And he was a good Catholic. And he was drinking all the way there, drinking. You know, Catholics drink. Well, probably he's getting drunk on the way to church. He had a beer out there and he finished that beer before he walked in the church. And he was about half buzzed up when he walked in there, and we were preaching on the responsibility of a father in the home. That guy hit the altar, kaboom, drunk and all. He realized that night that he was a total failure in life. A total failure. Because he had not pointed his children to God and been an example of nothing but a bum. He worked. He produced a good living for his family. But as far as teaching them about the Lord, he was a bum. And he wanted to be a man of God. And boy, did he become that too, didn't he? He did. He became a man of God. All right, 2 and verse 10. 2 and verse 10. Yahtzee. See that word Yahtzee there? Mi Eden. Li Hash Kof. Et Hagan. Yumisham. Yip Peredeth. Peredeth. Wihaya. Li Arba'a. Rashim. We Nahar, the word Nahar there means river. And river, outgoing, from Delight. Delight, Arkansas? Is that the Arkansas River? From Delight, literally, or from Eden, Me'eden, from Eden, from Delight, Lehashkot, to irrigate, to cause to irrigate, to cause to give a drink. Now, we have the earth, watered by mist, and now we have trees that grow alongside of rivers. And out, and these rivers have little floodplains, and it waters all this. It irrigates them. Now, back in the in Texas and Oklahoma, Missouri, Mississippi, and many of those places, they have what they call dry land farming. They don't, they do not irrigate their farms because it's like this Eden was. It's so much moisture in the ground, and a lot of that's clay ground, and clay holds moisture a lot. It really holds it, unless it's like over in East Bakersfield where there's no moisture down there, and it becomes a brick. You lived over there, didn't you? You ever dig a hole out in that stuff?
You ever dig a hole out where we live at?
Is that clay?
Yeah, that's hard.
That's clay, yeah. Like clay.
Cement.
I tell you what, I got. Do you remember when I dug that basement underneath that house over there in East Bakersfield? I dug through solid clay. There wasn't a rock in it. I don't think there was any sand or gravel in it. It was nothing but clay. It was like digging through brick. I got down there and I dig through that. Most of the thing, I have a hammer that I use, and it was a claw hammer. I used picks. I used shovels. And I dug that big basement on it, 24 and a half by 20 basement. And the house didn't have a foundation. That part of the house didn't have a foundation under it. So I went down there, I dug underneath this thing, and I poured bricks, put bricks along the walls and filled them full of cement and rebar and everything else. And I built a foundation underneath that house, but I dug it with a claw hammer. And the claws on that thing aren't very long left. I still have that thing someplace. Digging through that clay.
That's the same one that the Starship Redemption used. Wore down to a nub.
Yeah. To irrigate, calls to give drink, hithael, infinitive construct, the garden, the pleasure place, the pleasure park. And from there, you misham, and from there, look at the word sham there, see, shem. And from there, he kept on being divided. Yip peredeh, he kept on being divided. And he had become two four heads.
It says he.
Yeah, he had.
The river.
The river's he.
Oh, they call it a he?
Yeah, the river's a he. Yeah, the river's a he. And he had become divided to four heads. The river is divided in four parts, isn't it? In four parts. And that, this is Rashim, and that is the late plural. Barashith is the old plural. This is the late plural, Rashim. It means four heads. Four heads. And two in verse 11. We talked about this in the beginning, remember, Vincent? Shem, Ha'ikad, Pishon, Hu, Hasaveth, Et, Kol, Eretz, Ha, Shivala, Ha Shivala, Asher, Sham, and then Ha Sahav. And name the first, Pishon. That means flowing. Pishon means flowing. The name of the first river means flowing. Pishon means flowing. He is. The river, the first name of the river, he is flowing. The one surrounding, that's a masculine singular cal participle. The one surrounding. This river surrounded something, surrounded all the land. It went around all the land watering. If you ever look down from the Mississippi River or something, you'll find it just going like that, just watering all over the Snake River. Watering, wandering, and watering the land, Eretz, the dry land. Ha-Shevala means a circle of gold, a circle of gold. Where? There, the gold. In other words, this is, there's a lot of gold. Where's one of the biggest gold deposits in the world? Has been.
California.
California's got a bunch, but I mean back over in the ancient world, where was
it? Egypt?
Egypt and Africa. Now, the Africa and all of this, the African continent, all this didn't exist at this time, did it? Land is all one piece. And this river is running out, watering all this land, dividing into four big rivers. It starts one and divides into four rivers. Let's go on just a little bit further and we'll quit here. Yuzahav, Haaretz, Hahiv, Tov, Sham, Habi Dolach, We Even, Ha Shiham, the rivers of delight, and gold, the land of that good, very good. That could be in Africa, because there's a lot of gold in Africa, isn't it? A lot of gold.
Like the Nile or part of it.
Yeah.
The Nile,
it could be. It
the,
could be the Nile River was part of this at
that
one time.
Goes from,
yeah. All the way up there. Remember? Dr. Livingston, I presume. Stanley and Livingston. He went way back up to the headwaters of the Nile River. Found it. Nobody. They wouldn't believe that they had found it. And then it says that. And the land that good. That good there. And then it means odorous, transparent, gum, the color of gold, like manna. And stone, the onyx. Onyx. Onyx is what is used to be carnelian. Onyx or carnelian. And carnelian is what we call a flesh-colored rock. Yeah, it is now. The color's changed. This color back. See, I'm telling you the difference between the old onyx and the new onyx. Now, you can find some Apache tears or what we call this onyx stone, and you will see flesh color in it and everything else. This color here is the color, bdellium was the color of gold, and this is the color of flesh. Okay?
You have down here carnelian.
Yeah, carnelian. Carnelian is the color of flesh. Carnus. Carna.
Carne. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Carne. Now, the next week when we go back here, we're going to look in the archaeological Bible the next week we go here. And it says the Phasis, the Araxes, the Bisegna, the Indus, the Ganges, the Hyphasis and the Nile and the Goshop. These are all old ancient rivers. The rivers of delight. We're going to go on page 6 in the archaeological Bible. So we went from page what? From verse 2-5? 2-5 through 12. Do you have any questions? And did you learn anything?
I have a question on the. The tree of good and evil, you said it was God's property.
Yes.
Does that have any correlation to do with the church?
Well, the church is God's property. And you might say also in the book of Revelation, it has the stars in his hand. And that's the pastors of those churches in his hands.
That's the first thing I thought of when you said God's property.
Yeah, God's property. The church is God's property.
Right.
In a special way, it's a twice-blooded people, aren't they? How do you like being twice-blooded now?
I like blood.
Yeah?
Too much blood.
Yeah? Twice-blooded people. Yeah, it's God's property. Eden was a very special place. It's a guarded pleasure palace. And the church in the world today is a very special place for the dwelling place of God in it. And how little can a church be? Where there are two or three gathered together in my name, I'll be in the middle of them. Now, a lot of people try to use that to say anywhere you two or three Christians gather is that. But it's talking about church, isn't it? It's not just any gathering. It's church in the capacity of a church. I'll be in the midst of it. And you have had a church that small, two or three.
That's right.
But it's still church, isn't it? Now, why did Jesus say, where there are two or three in my name, I'll be in the midst? What customs had the Jews, yes.
Because the Jews had dominion, they had to have the 10.
The minimum of a synagogue had to be 10 people, 10 men.
Yeah.
Of course, the men could be as young as 12 years old. All right, because they were considered. All right, now did Jesus go through bar mitzvah?
Yeah.
Did Jesus go through bar mitzvah?
Mm-hmm.
Did Jesus go through bar mitzvah?
I don't know.
No. Bar mitzvah and bat mitzvah is a very late custom of the Jewish people. And that happened in the 1600s. So Jesus did not go through bar mitzvah.
So they didn't have it.
I heard from, no, they didn't have it. But when a boy was 12 years old, he was considered a man. And then later on, as the Jews were all in the world, they started practicing bar mitzvah. And finally, in the 1900s, bat mitzvah. What's bat mitzvah? The girls become a woman. All right? And in the Spanish, they have this, what?
Quinceañeras.
Yes.
And when they turn 15 or 16.
Girls. Yeah, when they become a woman, they have this coming out. All right, but it was much younger back then than it is now. It was 12 years old. Women were considered women when they were 12.
Yeah.
That was it. And the Indian cultures, when a woman came to her first monthly time in her life,
right,
she was considered a woman.
Right.
And she was marryable. And they had a coming out thing among the American Indian culture. And where do you think the Mexican culture got that from? American Indian culture. Right. And the Jews had it in later on in their bar mitzvah and bat mitzvah. So did you learn something tonight?
I learned that.
You learned that. All right. Jesus didn't go through bar mitzvah.
Yeah, that
did not. It didn't exist at that time at all.
It's no mention of it really in the Bible.
No. No. It's just a bat mitzvah and bar mitzvah. A boy's hair is cut. He has a suit put on him, and he has a hat put on him, and he becomes a man when he's 12 years old when he goes to his bar mitzvah.
You know, you think I would have known that, because I didn't see anything like that in all the preachers.
But how many preachers have ever preached that?
That's what I never heard of.
You've never heard it preached?
Because I always thought, you know, because...
I've heard it preached.
I always heard that it was a big thing when Jesus was, when he was in the temple, you know, in the altar for those days.
Yes.
That
he had gone through his bar mitzvah.
And that's one reason they were astonished, because he hadn't, you know, I don't know.
I've heard that phrase.
Yeah, with that.
Especially those who are studying Jewish culture and don't really know about Jewish culture.
Yeah, when things came in.
When it began. When did this come to practice? We have, in Jesus' time, we have the Mishnah and the Talmud. That's their traditions that he condemned. Though we still have the Mishnah and the Talmud. And the Kabbalah, too. That's later. All right? That's even later yet. All right. Any other questions? Did that help you? A little bit?
Yep.
Some? Whatever? All right. Let's be dismissed. Well, let's have an invitation. Okay. Might have an invitation. What do you got?
103.
Whatever out, if you're out there in the world and you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, here's an opportunity to come to the Lord and say, Jesus, save my soul and forgive me of my sins. I know that you came into this world. You came in to save me and to forgive me of my sins. And you paid the price, and I'm claiming that price. And I'm asking you to forgive me and save my soul and repenting of your sins. And your life changes and all these things. This all takes place. And if you're out there, you need to serve the Lord, and if you're saved, you need to try to serve the Lord some way. Even if you're out there in Australia and New Zealand, which I know this goes there. If you can find a church that's a scriptural church, and join that church and serve in that church. And if you don't, start building one. Start building one. Vincent.
Rock of ages, clap for me. Let me hide myself in thee. Let the water and the blood from thy wounded side which flowed be of sin the double cure. Take from wrath.